Hey, I got it all memorized, don't worry. I'm naturally a funny guy, you know. I heard about this old country farmer. He's taking his nephew camping for the first time, and his nephew had 5 degrees. He's one of the smartest men alive. They set up their tent and quickly fell asleep. But in the middle of the night, the farmer woke up his nephew and said, "Look up, what do you see?" The nephew said, "I see millions of stars." The farmer said, "I know that, but what does that tell you?" He said, "Astronomically, it tells me that there are billions of galaxies. Meteorologically, it tells me that it's going to be a beautiful day. Theologically, it tells me that God is a great creator. What does that tell you?" The farmer shook his head and said, "It tells me that somebody stole our tent." I thought that was pretty good. Amen. Well, we're going to continue with a message that we left off with on the 3rd. But if you would please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Are you excited about the word this morning? You ought to be. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse number 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," somebody point to yourself and say me, "that he would grant me, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge," now watch this, "that you might be filled with the fullness of God." Verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Glory to God. Well, what does fullness mean? Well, one good definition of fullness is if something is full, it means there is no space for more, right? In context to what we're talking about, you're talking about God unlimited. Oh, think about that. God unlimited. Amen. So many scriptures you could look at. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "The heaven is the Lord's and all that is therein." Psalms 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10:26 both say, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Psalms 33:4-5 says, "The earth is the fullness of his goodness." John 1:16 says, "Of his fullness we have received." Oh, thank God. Ephesians 1:23 says, "Which his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And then, of course, over in Colossians 1:19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell." And then Colossians 2:9 says, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead." Well, thank God. Well, if that fullness, just like it says here, of that fullness we have received in John 1:16, if we have the fullness of God, if we have God unlimited, then like Paul said in Colossians 2:10, then we can truly say that we are complete in him. Somebody say, "I'm complete in him." Well, what does that mean? That means that you don't have any lack. That means that nothing is missing, nothing broken in your life. That's a good state to be in, isn't it? Amen. And so if we're talking about his fullness, you could say this, you can't exhaust God's blessings. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The only thing, and this is sort of where we got to last time we were together, the only thing that could possibly hold you back is limited thinking and limited faith, which always yields limited results. Amen. So you got to learn to start thinking a little bit bigger. How many of you know this? What's on the inside is truly what matters. See, if we're talking about limited thinking, limited faith, you know, if you're saying I'm filled with his fullness, then what's on the inside is what really matters. Well, you notice there in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "According to the power that worketh in us." That word "worketh" is an interesting word. It's a Greek word. It's where we get the word, the English word, energy. And so you can look at it this way. God's divine energy is at work in us. Literally, it means to be mighty. So you know, we say all the time, the mighty one is at work in me. God is alive and working in me. Well, that's scriptural. That's what the Bible's saying. And so God is at work in us. And so if that's the case, then we've got to learn to become God inside minded. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Thank God. Amen. You remember the song? I'm not going to sing it. I'll tell jokes, but I won't sing. You remember the song? You're welcome, Tony. You remember the song, the Word is working mightily in me. Amen. The Word is working mightily in me. Well, Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "You are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let me encourage you that if God is on the inside, then if God is on the inside, then he's always greater than the problem that's on the outside. So in regards to the Word, you got to really start thinking about it and taking God at his Word. What does his Word say? Because the Word works every time, 100% of the time. I guarantee it. If you pick it up and you put it into practice and you put it to work, it's going to work 100% of the time. I don't know, you know, I don't know at what age I was, but how many of you multiplied or learned the multiplication tables? Did you know those still work for you today? After all these years, after 40 some odd years of learning the multiplication table, they still work for me. I don't have to try hard. I don't have to bear down and make it work. I just use it. I just make it work, right? Well, you know, the Word is the same way. It's been good for all these years, and it's still going to be good for all the years to come. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Memorize it. Put it to practice. Right? So what do you do with it? Well, you say it. You do it. And then you leave the results up to God. I think that's such an easy key and such a simple thing, and yet people miss it there. You know, they say the Word. They act on the Word, but then they try to get the results themselves. And that's where you miss it. That's not what faith is all about. Faith is about receiving the good hand of God and leaving the results up to him. You don't have to make yourself well, right? You don't have to sit at home trying to make yourself well. No, you take the Word of God. You learn what it says. You speak it out your mouth. And then you just say, "I thank you, I receive it." And then you leave the results up to him. And that applies to every area of your life, right? And so all you got to do is leave the results up to him. Now watch this. Philippians 2:13, Paul writing from prison says this. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Again, another way of saying God is at work on the inside of you. Amen. Praise God. So that's where we left off last time. Just a little bit of a review. Wanted to catch you up just a little bit. But let's do this. Look at John 10:10. All this goes together. Look over at John 10:10. Amen. Thank God he's at work in us. Amen. Glory to God. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come," this is red letter living, isn't it? This is Jesus speaking. He says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Know this, whatever Satan attempts to destroy, Jesus has the power to restore. That's what all that is saying. Whatever Satan attempts to destroy, Jesus has the power to restore. You know, maybe you've been dealt a series of bad breaks. Maybe some things have happened in your life that have been unfortunate, and well, it's time to rise above it, right? I was reminded of a scripture in Joel chapter 2, Joel 2, verse 25. It says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. My people shall never be ashamed. Another way of saying, my people shall never be put to shame. Thank God, right? You know, the reality is when you go from cover to cover and you understand what the Word is talking about, He doesn't want you crippled in your emotions. He doesn't want you tormented in your mind. He doesn't want you sick in your body. He doesn't want you broke. Why? Because we learn right here, He's in the restoration business. It's His desire, it's His goal that you overcome these things despite your losses. Deuteronomy 30 verse 3 says, then the Lord will turn your captivity. One translation of that passage says that He will restore your fortunes. You know, that word restore is an interesting word, and you find it so many different times in Scripture. In Jeremiah 30, 17, it says, for I will restore health to you. How many of you at any time in your life needed a restoration in your health? Maybe you're desiring a restoration right now. Put your ears on. I said, put your ears on. For I will restore health to you. One translation says, I'll give it back to you. Right? Jeremiah 32, 27 says, behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? In other words, there's no situation that is too difficult, too hopeless for God to turn around. So don't ever accept defeat. I said, don't ever accept defeat. Psalm 71, verse 21 says, I like this one. It says, you will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You will restore me to even greater honor. I like that. Psalm 41, 3 says, the Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. Psalm 119, 107 says, I am severely afflicted, O Lord. Revive me. Revive me. See, that word revive is another way of saying restore. Revive me according to your word. Message Bible says, put me back together. Thank God. Put me back together. Psalm 147 verse 3 says that He binds up. In other words, He restores our wounds. Well, if you go back, we read in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I like this. I was reminded of this story reading recently through Brother Hagin's health food devotional. Everybody say, He restores me. He says, I remember the story of a man who had a malignant growth on the side of his face. It looked like a big purple eggplant and had grown almost as big as the side of his head. The doctors wouldn't touch it. They had done preliminary examinations and said that he'd live longer if we left it alone. The man had been in all kinds of healing meetings because he believed in divine healing. Healing evangelists had laid hands on him. The pastor anointed him with oil and prayed. Many people had prayed. Then one day, the pastor said to me, I noticed that the growth, although it was still there, began to shrivel. I could see that it was shriveling. The whole church could see that it was shriveling. Well, within a 3 or 4 month period, we saw that thing get smaller and smaller. So finally, the man came to the church one day, and there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with his face. Every bit of that tumor was gone, and the skin on his face looked like baby new skin. The pastor asked what had happened. He told the pastor that he had been reading in the Bible and came to Philippians 2:13. Every morning when he looked in the mirror, now get a hold of this. This is the part I want you to pay attention to. Every morning, he put his hand on that growth, looked in the mirror, and said, God is working in that. Now, this is in regards to healing, but if there's a situation going on in your life, why don't you just look in the mirror and say, God is working on that. God is working on that. And then throughout the day, just remind yourself, God is working on that. God is working on that. Philippians 2:13 says that it's God that's at work in me, and not only working in my spirit, He's working in my body. He kept saying that for days and weeks, and after about 3 months, he saw the growth was beginning to shrivel, and eventually it disappeared. Now, God didn't single that fellow out to bless him. The man saw the Word, he read the Word, and he began to believe the Word for himself, and he received what the Word said he could have. God is working on that. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God is at work on the inside of you. Amen. Again, that's in regards to your health and healing, but it applies to every area of your life. Well, how many of you know God must begin to work in us before He can work through us? Right? You got to get your act together before you can help somebody else, right? You're awful quiet now. I said sometimes you got to get your act together before you can help somebody else. Right? The Passion Translation reads, God will continually revitalize you. Somebody say revitalize.
Revitalize.
Well, the women know what revitalize means. Right? If you used any kind of makeup or some kind of hairspray this morning, it was probably labeled revitalizing hairspray, revitalizing makeup, right? Revitalizing foundation. Don't ask me how I know that stuff. Well, revitalizing hairspray or mousse or whatever is for dry and damaged and lifeless hair. It's meant to give it life, right? It's meant to perk it up a little bit. Revitalize. Am I doing good? All right. Not that I need it. Well, revitalizing makeup makes your skin look healthy and young. See, everybody wants to be younger, don't you? So the women use that stuff. Well, again, there's so many different things. We could all relate to revitalizing something. You know, at the start of every baseball season, I was a ball player all my life. And so, throughout my high school career, I had the same baseball glove. And actually still have it at the house. But every single year, you know, I'd get the cream, you know, the glove conditioner, and I would rub it into that leather because I wanted to take care of that glove. You know, it was good and broke in, and so I wanted to make it last. And so I'd rub that conditioner in it. And one year my coach told me, he said, are you still using that old glove you had when you were a freshman? And this was my senior year, going into my senior year. And I said, well, yeah. And he said, things falling apart. I said, well, coach, it works for me. It's good, you know. And I handed it to him. He said, well, at least let me take the strings and redo the strings on. And so he took this glove home, and he actually restrung that whole glove for me. And so he told me after he had done that, he said, now listen, when this piece of junk decides to fall apart, he said, don't throw it away because I got a lot of money invested in that leather. You give it to me. Well, I still got it. I didn't give it back to him. Well, what are you talking? You're talking about bringing life back to something, revitalizing, restoring something, right? You know, Bob and Lois Oliver, that Bob was part of this church for many, many years. You know, he and I would go to Pigeon Forge, and he would like to take old cars and restore these cars. And so, you know, I would be looking at these new Mustangs and hot rods that had been redone, and he was looking at these old pieces of junk. You know, that's why I use this slide up here. And we would pass by the parking lot of, you know, some of these guys, and you'd see an old piece of junk like this sitting out there, and he'd go right to that. And there'd be a brand new, you know, like an older car, but just looked brand new. Somebody had taken it and totally restored this car. That's the car I would go to. And so he would go to these cars, and it was funny because he would look at these old cars, these old beat up cars, and he would begin to tell me what he would do to it. And how he could finish this and put this in. And he was all about restoring this thing and making it look good. Well, in the right hands, those things can certainly happen, right? I said, in the right hands. Well, he could always see the potential in the restoration. All I saw was a piece of junk. But he always saw the possibilities. You know, it doesn't matter what you're going through in life. God sees past the junk. He just sees right to the possibilities. Sometimes we get so focused on the outside that we don't give much attention to the inside, but that's actually where the restoration takes place. I mean, you know, the outside matters. I know when Sheila and I got together early on, you know, we spent some time at ORU together, but then I went over to Rhema Bible College, and she was still at Oral Roberts. And so I'm a bachelor living in my apartment, and she come over. I remember she comes over the first time. I'd been there for a while because she was here during the summertime. And she come over, and I was real proud. You know, I'd cleaned the place up really good, made it look good because I knew her. I think your mother was coming at the time. And so they were coming over to see the apartment, and I was real proud of it. You know, I'd been there all summer, and And so I remember at some point she asked me, she said, when's the last time you cleaned this bathroom? I said, I got it good and clean for you. I knew you guys were coming. She goes, show me what you did. And I said, well, I come over here and I started showing her. I was wiping down the outside of the tub and made it look real nice on the outside. She goes, what'd you do on the inside? I said, well, you know, the soaps take care of the inside, right? And so, you know, you just kind of water it down a little bit. The soap's naturally taking care of the inside. She said, no, that's not how that works. So she got the job from that point on. She helped me out. Well, the outside does matter, but the inside is the key. I said, the inside is the key. Thank the Lord God doesn't start on the outside and work to the inside. I think we could all testify to that, right? He works from the inside out. Let me say this, nothing in the eyes of the Lord is lost beyond repair. Think about that old car, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of junkyards around that is full of junk like that, that people feel like is lost beyond repair. There's a lot of people that feel like their life is lost beyond repair. Lord can't do anything with me. You don't know what I've gone through. Well, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what the person sitting next to you has gone through. Might surprise you. Over the years, we've come across people that have told us some stories, and you look at their life now and think, how could that have ever been possible? Because of him. Because he's in the restoration business. Because he sees the possibility. He sees past all the junk. I like the story, Jesus talking to Zacchaeus in Luke 19:10. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We all know this passage of Scripture, but notice something. That word seek, I was reading after Rick Renner, he said that word seek means a search so intense that it could easily be compared to an investigation. Think about that. For the Son of Man, for Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, we were all lost at some point. I like the old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Do you know that passage there was penned by a former British slave trader, who was later converted and became a clergyman? Think about somebody's life being redeemed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The word lost is a Greek word. It defines something that's ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, oftentimes at the hands of somebody else. Something that's destroyed due to neglect. Something, in fact, that is hopeless. I once was hopeless. But interestingly enough, that same Greek New Testament word for lost is also a word to use to describe Satan, that's the word destroyer. Same exact word. Lost is the same exact word to describe Satan as the destroyer. What's all that saying? Satan would love nothing more than for you to just give up on life because you feel like your life is hopeless. Because you've come across a point in your life where you feel like, well, it just can't get any better than this. Well, that's what he wants you to do, is just quit. That's what he wants you to do, is just decide, well, you know, I've been seeking healing in my body for all these years and it's just not going to turn around. Listen, you're not just some hopeless salvage project. I said, you're not just some hopeless salvage project. He's ready to do a full-scale restoration in your life. And let me encourage you in this. His goal is to return your life to safety and soundness. Soundness. And that involves a totally redemptive work. But you know, he thought of everything. There's not one thing in your life that he didn't cover. There's not one thing in your life that he didn't already think of and take care of. In Jesus, through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's all taken care of. But you've got to get, just like salvation, you've got to get into the Word for yourself, discover it for yourself, and lay a hold of that promise for yourself. Titus 2:14 says, "He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people." I like that in the Voice translation, people passionate about doing the right thing. That's God's people. That's peculiar people, right? Jeremiah 29:11, a familiar passage, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Another translation says, "A future and a hope." Amen. Well, back when Sheila and I got together, I had a 1986 Ford Tempo. You remember those? 1986 Ford Tempo. And that was a good car for a short period of time. Before that, I had a 76 Delta 88. You know, that thing, you couldn't have fit it on this stage, and it was a two-door. It was massive. But I love that car. When I bought that car, it must have been, probably in the early 90s, late 80s, and it was a 76, and it had 30,000 miles on it. This little old grandma, you know, you hear the stories, but this is the truth. It's a small town. But little old grandma literally drove it from her house to the grocery store and back. 30,000 miles on this thing, mint condition. I would give anything to have that car today. They don't build them like that anymore. I sounded like a mechanic there, didn't I? So I had that car, and I was going to college, and so my dad was trying to help me out, because he said, "We're getting ready to get a new car. Why don't you let me trade yours in?" And they were driving this 86 Tempo, and he said, "It's going to be better on gas. It's going to be a better car for you. Let me trade that Delta 88 in, and we'll get a new car, and you'll get the Tempo, and everything will be good." Well, I did it, and that car was good for a short period of time for me. And then it started having problems. Of course, he didn't know that when he gave it to me. It was running good. But started having problems, and all kinds of things went out in that car. And matter of fact, on the way to get married, we got stranded. Me and Amy Christie, who was a part of this church for a while and good friend of Sheila's, and me and her were coming back to get married. You know, not me and her, but Sheila and I were coming back to get married. She was riding with me because she was in Tulsa going to school also, so we were all coming back. And so we got stuck in Arkansas somewhere because the car broke down. Something within the car, something to do with the air conditioning unit went out. And so we ended up taking care of that, fixing that problem. But, I mean, it wasn't a short while. I decided just to trash that thing because I think the transmission went out in it. Man, it just didn't work for me. And so in my mind, you know, the only thing, because of the amount of money that I was going to have to put into it, the only thing that I figured I could do was sell it for junk, you know. And so I had a friend of mine that was a roommate at Oral Roberts University, and he said, "Hey," he said, "let me give you," he said, "before you just junk the car," he said, "let me give you $50, I think is what he gave me for it. He said, "let me give you $50 for this car, and I'll take it, and I'll put a little bit into it, and I'll make it work for me." Well, I thought, you know, $50, I was going to give it to him because it was junk to me. And so he said, "Well, let me give you $50. And he took it, and I think he drove it for a while. I don't know exactly how long, but he, you know, again, in the right hands, somebody can take that car and do something with it. These weren't the right hands. Never. That's why we drive new cars out here, because these aren't the mechanical hands. Matter of fact, if anything goes wrong with the new cars, those are the mechanical hands right there that I call on, Tony Jenkins. He's my mechanical hands, right? But again, in the right hands, you know, in the right hands, it might look like a daunting task, but in the right hands, somebody knows what to do with it. Well, you're in the right hands. I said, spiritually speaking, you're in the right hands. Think about the restoration business. You know, the restoration business is such a huge thing. It's a multi-billion dollar business right now, no doubt. You know, from bicycles to cars to homes to toys. You know, we just happen to like to go to antique stores. Sheila's bought some antiques over the years. I like the old antique tools. You know, I got, before my grandfather passed away, I went through his tools and got some old planers out. Well, I took those planers and restored them, and and had a good time doing that. And so I like to find these old tools and, you know, fix them up, bring them back to life, revitalize them, you know. And so we like to go to these antique stores and find these kind of things and repurpose them and reuse them and bring them back to life. And so yesterday we were at some antique stores. A lot of people call them junk stores. It's all in whose hands it's in, right? There's television shows, Fixer Upper, and all these different shows are about bringing old things back to life. I remember back when I was a teenager, you know, something that started becoming popular, you know, even our clothes started trying to look antique even though they were brand new. I remember the first pair of pants that I bought that were stonewashed. You remember those? You know, if you look it up, stonewashed jeans actually came out in the 50s. I didn't know that. I was looking this up. They actually came out in the 50s, but they just didn't catch on, but they became largely popular in the 80s. But Levi Strauss and company claimed to have invented them. But I remember when I got my first pair of stonewashed jeans, my dad, probably watching this more, my dad liked to have had a fit. And he said, "I'm not buying a pair of jeans that look like they're already 10 years old." You can hear him saying that, can't you? It looked like they're about 10 years old. I mean, he'd have a fit if he saw some of these today that looked like they'd been drugged behind the car on the way here, you know. He has said that, probably to you. Christina said, he has said that to me. You know, so many things, you know. But I understand this. We're talking about all these things, bringing things back to life and restoration, things like this. But understand, your life, you're not just some substandard version of the original. Sometimes we go through life and we feel like we've been beaten up and battered and we've gone through some stuff. Man, the last couple of years, going back a couple of years ago when my brother passed away, man, I felt like I'd been run through the ringer. Man, it was just one thing after another. It was an awful year. But you know, if you don't get in the Word yourself and determine for yourself that God's in the restoration business, that He's the healer, that He's the deliverer, you can come through a year like that and think, I've lost all hope. You can come through a year just like we just had. Some of you are probably thinking, well, it ain't over. You might still feel like you're in the midst of it. Well, what's to be said? We always say the best is yet to come. But if you quit, if you don't determine that you're going to keep going through, what is it the Word says? Who passing through the valley of tears, the valley of Baca, make it a well? Sometimes you're going to go through some stuff. But you've got to determine for yourself that you're not going to quit. We're not just some refurbished version of the original you. Repurpose. Well, my life was a mess. Thank God He saved me, so I'll just struggle through the rest of life. I'm saved. No, He's got better than that. He's got better than that. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't like anything refurbished. I don't like anything repurposed. I don't like leftovers. You ask my wife, I'm not a leftover fan. There's very few things in my life that eating-wise that I like to eat after it's been eaten once. Once it's served its purpose, I'm done with it. Right? Can anybody identify with that? It's very rare for me to ask for a doggy bag because that's where it's going to go. It needs to go to the dog because you ate your part of it. We're done, right? Oh, no. He's not interested in refurbishing you. He's interested in restoring you. There is a difference. I said there is a difference. How many of you got a smartphone? Most of you probably got a smartphone. Some of you got them old dumb phones, those flip dumb phones. But even they need updating. Guarantee it, even they need updating. Right? Amen. No, He's interested in improving, restoring you. Right? I like to think of it this way. John 4.0. Right? The best version, whatever the newest version is. You know, I don't know what the newest iPhone is. We have iPhones. Some of you have Androids, whatever. But, you know, I think an iPhone 12 is the latest one. It's gonna have the latest technology, the newest technology. Well, that's the way really God looks at your life. He's interested in not just refurbishing you. He's interested in restoring you. Right? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Thank God. The Voice translation says, our inner humanity is breathing in new life every single day. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul, writing to the church, of course, this passage in another translation says, all that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. How many of you know we get a new, fresh start in Him? Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Glory to God. The NIV says, the old is gone and the new is here. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, remember not the former things, for I will do a new thing. Praise God. Well, if that's the case, then you don't have to put up with anything that robs you of this blessed life. That's the key that we're trying to get to, is if the word is true, then you don't have to put up with anything. You don't have to put up with sickness. You don't have to put up with poverty. You don't have to put up with depression. In regards to healing, Brother Hagin said it this way, if you will yield to that something on the inside of you and not pay attention to your outward symptoms, you'll eventually look around for those same symptoms and find that they're gone. So don't look to the outside for physical healing. I'll say that again. Don't look to the outside for physical healing. That's a key. Because you can get into the Word and you can find out what it says. You can listen to this message this morning. We read a number of healing scriptures. And then you can walk out of here and look around at your body and say, well, it's still there. You missed the point. I said you missed the point. You can't look around at your body for physical healing. You have to determine for yourself that it starts on the inside. Get in a revelation of what's on the inside of you. Amen. Praise God. He goes on to say that you can know things on the inside that your head can't comprehend. I guarantee you, you'll come across some time in your life when it doesn't make sense to you. Sometimes faith doesn't make sense. Sometimes if you're standing in faith for something, all the natural things around you, everything will tell you it's not true, that it's not going to work, that it doesn't apply to you. But if you'll stand your ground on what the Word of God says, you'll come out victorious every single time. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Colossians 1:23 says, continue in faith, grounded and settled on the Word. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Listen, faith is so persuaded of greater things that it looks forward and prepares for them. Faith prepares. Faith prepares. Colossians 2:5-7 says, beholding your steadfastness of faith, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Let me encourage you in this also. Let the Word of God be the controlling force in your life. I said, let the Word of God be the controlling force in your life. One last passage of Scripture. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6. You all right this morning? Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse number 5. Deuteronomy 6:5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And when you talk of them, when you sit in your house. Does anybody talk about the Word when you sit in your house? You know, the Bible shouldn't be something that you just pick up anytime you go to church. It ought to be something that your kids hear you saying, reading. Something ought to be a part of your life every single day. So you talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them for a sign upon your hand. It shall be as the frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. That's truly the position that the Word of God ought to have in our life. Jerry Savelle read something after him yesterday. He said, the more you consume your mind with the Word of God, guard what comes out of your mouth, and cast down every negative thought, the sooner you will be living a victorious life. That's the truth, isn't it? Proverbs 1:33 says, whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. What are we talking about? Being secure and at ease. That's what this whole thing is about. Allow Christ in you, the hope of glory, to rise up on the inside and give you a confidence that you need to make it through the day. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. I read something in a book by a gentleman by the name of Wayne Cordero. He wrote a number of books, but he has a book out called The Divine Mentor. He's talking about, really in this book, he's talking about the divine mentor is the Word. It's God Almighty teaching you. And so he says this. He was reading in a medical magazine, and he said this. He said in this magazine, it said, the health of the 21st century America will no longer be determined by what people can get doctors to do for them, by rather what the doctors can get people to do for themselves. It's interesting, isn't it? He says this. He says, self-feeding will be the heart of healthy Christians. Let that resonate in your heart for a minute. Self-feeding will be the heart of healthy Christians. You want a healthy, godly Christian life? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. I can't say it enough. This is my lifeline. If I didn't have this, I don't know where I would be. My life would be a heaped up junk of a mess. But thank God He restored me. Thank God He restores my soul. Thank God He restores my body. Thank God that He's interested in every part of my being because He's God Almighty. Thank God. This is your lifeline. Allow the Word of God to be the thing. Listen, it doesn't take a long time. Get into the Word. Even if it's a passage a day. Even if it's a chapter a day. Even if it's going to Proverbs. Today's Proverbs, what is today's day? The 18th, 19th? Today's the 20th? I'm going to get there. What is it? 21st. I'm 4 days behind. Well, today's Proverbs 21 then. Right? So you get into the Word and read. If that's all you can do, do that. Do something. But don't just leave your Bible in the pews. Nobody's ever done that, have you? We find them every day. Oh, get in the Word for yourself. Allow the Word of God to be the thing that sets the tone for your day. He's in the restoration business. Amen. Your life isn't hopeless. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you may be facing right now, no matter what's going on in your body or your relationships, no matter what's going on in your mind, God is in the restoration business this morning. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him with your life? Will you say, you know, I've been, anybody trying to figure it out on your own and you just seems to be getting in a mess? When you trust Him, He helps you figure it out. He helps you go down the right road. And let me tell you this, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Though it may seem like darkness all around you, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Greater things are ahead of you. The best is yet to come. If you'll get a hold of that, allow that to resonate in your heart. Don't give up. Don't quit. My goodness, every time I get up here, I just want to yell, shout from the rooftops, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Because if you could see things from God's perspective, you have no reason to quit. You have no reason to give up. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Father, we praise You this morning. We glorify You. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. No matter what it is that we may be going through, You alone have caused us to triumph. You alone have caused us to be victorious. Colossians says, we are complete in You. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Complete. So Father, this morning we come to You believing and thanking You for complete restoration. There's anybody in the sound of my voice this morning that you need a healing in your body. If you need a healing in your mind, a healing in your relationship, you declare out of your own mouth, I'm complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. I'm healed in Him. My marriage is restored in Him. You don't look to anybody else to complete you. You don't look to anybody else to be your completion. You look to God alone. When you work on you, other things begin to fall in line. Work on you. Work on you. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is faithful who promised. Oh, I tell you, if you'll make that decision this morning, if you make that decision this morning, healing will begin to manifest in your body. Things will begin to change in that relationship. Things will begin to turn. That job that you've been believing God for is coming. It's on the horizon. Don't quit. Don't give up. Oh, I'm telling you, He's in the restoration business. Situations that once looked hopeless, oh, suddenly things can turn around for your good. Romans says that He causes all things to work together for our good, who are called according to His purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't ever want to close a service without giving you the opportunity. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you've never made Him Lord of your life. You've never said, Father, I'm tired of going the way I'm going, but I want to turn things over to You. It's real simple. All you got to do is determine, I choose You. Do you know it's that simple this morning? If there's anybody that's listening online, anybody that's here in the auditorium, if you don't know what it's like to say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, things can be totally different for your life. In a moment, just in a snap. Anybody at all, this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to agree with you. Things can be different this morning. You could walk out that door totally changed. Life can be different. You could leave this place looking through different glasses, seeing things from a different perspective. If that's anybody in there this morning, if you'd slip your hand up, I'd just like to pray for you right where you are. Don't want to embarrass anybody ever, but this is the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. So Lord, I choose You. I choose You. Do you know I make that choice every day? You could make a lot of choices in a day, but I get up every morning and say, Father, I choose You. I choose You. Oh, everybody that's in the sound of my voice this morning, say that. I choose You. I choose You, Father. Best choice you will ever make today, guaranteed. Bar none. And every single day thereafter. Because when you choose Him, you open yourself up to His blessings. You open yourself up to the fullness so that you can boldly declare, I'm complete in Him. Thank God. Thank God. You got anything? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, one more time, lift up your hands. Father, we thank You. 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 We choose You this morning, Father. Thank You that You are in the restoration business. And I am restored and made whole right now in Jesus' name. Boldly declare it out of your own mouth. I am restored right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we thank You, Father. Your word is a life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it and act on it. That's us this morning, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, did you get something out of this morning? Yes. Praise God. I believe you did too. Amen. Glory to God. Don't forget, Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret will be right back with us on Wednesday. They're probably on their way back right now, but they'll be back with us for Wednesday service. God bless you. So glad you came this morning. Amen. Greet somebody on your way out. Amen. God bless you.